celebrity conversions that just don't line up with scripture. Dr. D. James Kennedy stated, "The vast majority of people who are members of churches in America today are not Christians. I say that without the slightest fear of contradiction. I base it on the empirical evidence of 24 years of examining thousands of people." In the early 2000s, I was the drummer in the band called Junkyard Prophet, voted second best unsigned band in the country, behind that of a band called POD, who in fact became MTV's darling. And according to Reverb Nation, we were in fact the number one Christian band in the country. Friends, we've worked with Geffen Records, Warner Brothers, being endorsed by major musical instrumental companies on a global basis. And after touring the nation, as well as playing with the biggest names in the Christian scene, Bride, Guardian, Disciple, Nuvo, so on and so forth, and also playing with the big boys in the secular scene, Drowning Pool, Creed, Sick Puppies, etc., I'm simply bringing my experience to you concerning the topic in which I will highlight firsthand. Now, before I get started, I'd like to say to those who want to twist scripture in an attempt to protect the gods that they have in fact created in their minds, such as their favorite musicians, actors, so on and so forth, by suggesting that I am not to judge, I would remind you that I am using the judge's word to make judgments. I'm judging with righteous judgment and that out of love. Furthermore, I'd like to add that if you are not zealous against error yourself, it's because you're probably not zealous for the truth, whereas I am. Now, yesterday I took the time to highlight on my radio show the likes of many celebrities that have been elevated to modern-day Christian stardom, such as Kanye West, who was trophied on the heretical Joel Osteen's platform recently for his supposed conversion, and you thought the political scene was filled with theater. Friends, the Lord warned us of both. This novice, unacquainted or unskilled in the Word of God, Kanye West, stated that he was the greatest artist that God ever created.
"Because now I told you about my arrogance and cockiness already. Now, the greatest artist that God has ever created is now working for him."
Folks, is this guy kidding me? Didn't know that it was about Kanye West anymore. Kanye was praising himself. Furthermore, does someone want to give this guy a reality check on what talent truly is?
"You're such a I'm a sick, I like a quick.
Then again, the bar has been lowered so far that we can understand why he is deceived into believing that he is what he wants to believe that he is. It tells us in 1 Timothy 3:6 through 7, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Friends, you are to prove those who call themselves Christians. Again, it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." Now, case in point, established churches up until the 1900s used to prove their members for 1 to 3 years before accepting them for their professions. Now, friends, Kanye wants to evangelize America's youth with his music. Now, that's a good initiative, but he needs to first make sure that he's first partaker of the fruit that the Lord gives in understanding in all things. And time will show whether he is genuine or not. The reason that I bring up this point is to show you that others that have claimed conversion, such as Bono from U2, Brian Head Welsh from Korn, Alice Cooper, Bob Dylan, again, so on and so forth. Friends, they go back to the vomit that they claimed that they were converted from. How does that work? It doesn't. For example, Brian Head Welsh from Korn claims his conversion, but rejoins the band and lifestyle that he claimed to be converted from. Let me tell you how that works, friends. by feeding upon the hirelings of the day and refusing to do your own due diligence in searching scriptures for yourselves. According to Brian's World, you are to yield yourself back to the spirit of the world, Antichrist, in order to influence people for the Lord.
Here we go.
Now, with one heart and voice, we may prostrate ourselves at the throne of heavenly grace and present to our great benefactor sincere and unfeigned thanks for his infinite goodness and mercy towards us from our birth to the present moment, for having above all things illuminated us by the gospel of Jesus Christ, presenting to our view the happy prospect of a blessed immortality, and for our unparalleled ingratitude to the adorable being who has seated us in a land irradiated by the cheering beams of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let us fall prostrate before offended deity, confess sincerely and penitently our manifold sins and our unworthiness of the least of his divine favors, fervently implore his pardon through the merits of our mediator, Jesus Christ, forefather and signer of the Declaration of Independence, Elbridge Gerry.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently,
"Recently,
we shouldn't rock the boat." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, yesterday I did a church service on strange fire. And, of course, that is addressing the issue of Adab and Abihu, who offered up strange prayer in worship unto God. It was profane. That means they were showing disrespect to the things of God and the protocol and order that God has commanded. And namely, it comes down to those that are spewing out music today. And it doesn't just apply to secular music. And for those that didn't know, the word secular means without God. It applies to those that call themselves Christians, and it applies to what they call the Christian scene today. And the question that I'm proposing to everybody is, what's the difference? Very little. Very little indeed, friends. And we're going to get to that in just a couple minutes. Before we do, I do want to get you over to the fact that concerning our schedule on sonsoflibertymedia.com, we have the Minnesota State Fair coming up. We're going to be there for 12 days in a row, starting on Thursday morning. So it'll be from the August 27th, Thursday, all the way to September 7th. So it's 12 days in a row from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. For those that didn't hear, I'm going to let you know they put us up right next to Black Lives Matters, which we look at as an absolute opportunity. And I want to tell you why, because those are the kind of kids and those are the kind of people that we want to come to the booth. Those are the ones that are in darkness that see the light, but we got to first be the light and give them the opportunity to do so. So in saying that, I'm looking forward to it. And I do have to say, in past experience with the Black Lives booth, every year I take the time to go over to these booths only to find that many of these kids or young people that are working at these booths are, folks, it's the furthest thing from them to be advocating what the mainstream media is advocating. And you have to understand, very far and few between actually visit these booths. It's the mainstream media embellishing numbers, trying to make them a lot bigger than what they really are. But the point, going full circle, back to the people that man those booths, A lot of those kids are just cool kids. They have no idea what the mainstream media is pushing. They have no idea how they're using Black Lives Matter as a political battering ram in hopes of upending us. And the only people that believe it are those that are watching the news. And you're the ones, a majority of you, that say you don't believe it. So therein lies the problem. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:16. So anyways, we will be on the bottom floor. And this will be at the Minnesota Grandstand at the Minnesota State Fair. I believe it's the 17th year. And we will be on the bottom floor, second row in, on the east end of the grandstand. That's where they play all the bands. Okay, so all these bands that come in, they'll play there. They play above where our booth is. And again, we've been there for years. But again, friends, if you're just tuning in, we will be live at the Minnesota State Fair. If you're in Minnesota, please come out, show your support. We would love to see you, love to meet you. We got a lot of stuff we can hand off, and things that you can purchase as well, from books to dog tags to t-shirts, and they're great conversational starters. Again, that will be at the Minnesota State Fair, east end of the grandstand, bottom floor, second row in. Again, that starts this Thursday all the way to September 7th. So with that, friends, also wanted to let you know I've got much to share with you today. If you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Subscribe to that page. Social media platforms on the right and the left. Tim Brown Morning Show on the right. Bradley Dean, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock Central Standard. Monday through Saturday, that's on the left side. We also have a church service on Sundays from 9 a.m. Central Standard for 3 hours every single Sunday. And again, that is sonsoflibertymedia.com. If you want to know who we are, what it is that we've been doing for the last 30, 31 years of ministry, I said doing, friends, go over to sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and or go over to beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. Top left side of that page as well. If you want to call in, that number is 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. And friends, if this is the first time listening to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be. It's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head, friends. And this is the prevailing factor among the American people today. Therein lies the problem. Put that up against Hosea 4:6. Okay, so with that said, it's interesting that when I look at Scripture, and I give these Scripture references quite a bit. So this is our friend Jack. This is for you from KHNC 1360 AM that says, when you shoot those Scriptures out, can you go ahead and read them? Well, for the sake of time today, I will read this one because it's one that I make reference to quite a bit. And what is it? Well, Christians are to be fruit inspectors. They're the ones that are to separate and make a distinction between that which is holy and that which is defiled. Okay, does Scripture teach that? Well, let me ask you. Matthew 7:16-20, what does it say? You shall know them by their fruits. Then he goes on and says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, Jesus says, you shall know them by what they bear, by their fruits. Are we to judge? Are we to stand in righteous judgment? No, we're not to judge, but we are to make distinction in making judgment calls between that which is acceptable and that which is not acceptable, because that's what the Bible teaches us. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 4:6, it teaches us that this is our wisdom in the sight of the nations. Did Jesus teach us this? Oh, constantly. Did the Holy Ghost teach us this? Well, again, I'm going to lay this to your candor. What does it tell us in 1 Timothy 4:1? It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their consciences sheared or seared with a hot iron. Are we not to make distinction? Are we not to make distinction between the sheep and the goats, the way that the Lord teaches us in Matthew 25? Oh my goodness, friends, we're just beginning the show, making distinction and reference to the Word of God that continuously tells the people to expose the false among the genuine. Throughout Scripture, I'm going to come right back to it in just a moment, and then we're going to get to the topic, what's the difference between what they call Christian music today and secular music? And I'll give you the option of answering that question. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
There are other people like us out here.
Hey, you wake up, wake up. Calling all filmmakers, actors, podcasters, writers, creators, and every believer in media. Do you need to be encouraged? Are you ready to get equipped? You need empowerment. I've got the solution for you. Welcome to the Content Media Conference. Welcome to content. God wants to use your content, yes, you, to spread the message of Christ. That's why God gave us content. Content changed my life and solidified my career. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to them.
You need the community.
I get really overwhelmed by content. Changed my life.
It's all happening here.
Come to these and I'm so encouraged.
These are my people. This is where I belong.
We've got funding
that opens so many doors.
Feel that it's possible to actually be in the filmmaking industry at such a young age.
The encouragement that's given to the young filmmakers. Go get them, Tiger.
Other people praying for you.
Worried about my media students having access to productions. They need to be working. Even the facility here has been amazing.
Yeah, I think you made up your mind. I'll see you at
ChristianMediaConference.com.
BBSRadio.com. At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hi, my name's Tom Raymond of Tennessee, retired Marine trooper and postal worker. My life's always been centered around service to God, family, and country. I've known Bradley Dean and his family for many years, fully supporting his work with teens especially, radio podcasts to include Sunday Church, and SonsOfLiberty.com website, chronicling Christian and geopolitical news. I hold Bradley up in prayer and financial support his mission.
And we appreciate it, Tom, very much. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Here is your opportunity to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Okay? Just listen to scripture before you stick both feet in your mouth, like most people do, especially those that don't know the Word of God. They're the first ones, because what happens, friends, is men become convicted of sin, and then they start to shoot at the messenger. Oh, it's the life you live as a Christian. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it in any sense of the word. So let me go over here. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:28, it says, "Him we preach." Who's him? Christ Jesus, him crucified. What do we mean, him crucified? Well, if we're crucified with Christ, what does that mean? It means we deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. Most people didn't hear the first part of that. We deny ourselves and take up the cross. Most people are blinded there because what they like to do is dance around the cross rather than to bear their cross. See, they want the crown, but not the cross. That's why they don't understand, because as it tells us in Acts 5:32, that the Holy Ghost is given to those that obey that form of doctrine that's been given unto them from their hearts. And I'm talking about Romans 6 as well. So it says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all spiritual wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means perfection. That's a work of the Holy Ghost through regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5, no question about it. And it's his work to perfect us, to conform us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Not to cherry pick scripture as to what we like and to what we don't like. Remember, going back to what I just made statement on, we're crucified with Christ. That means we're dead to the world. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ, Paul said at the end of Galatians. Unto the world, and what? Unto whom he's crucified with. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 2:20 as well, that I am, all Christians are, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I that liveth, but the life that I now live, I live in by the faith of, not humanistic faith, not come into the church service and get a faith lift through metaphysics. No, it's not an issue of the mind. It's an issue of the author and the finisher of our faith to give unto us that we have his faith. We live unto him and by him concerning the faith that he has bestowed upon us. It is not man-made. It's given unto the children of God, period. To those that have been born of God and born of the Spirit of God, John 3:3. Now, this is what I want to ask you, because again, I'll make a couple points here so you can understand. Is the church, are Christians to make distinction between that which is holy and that which is profane? Absolutely. Absolutely. So when I look up words like this, how many scriptures are there that are exposing false teachers and false prophets in the church today? That's within, not without. And so as I look to it, it tells us in Matthew 7:15-20, that Jesus warns to beware of false prophets, not to the carnal Christian, which doesn't biblically exist, that wants to say, you know, we just need to keep the peace. Bradley, what are you doing? Why are you causing so much division? Isn't that what Jesus said he was going to do when he brought in the truth? Because he is the truth. He's the way, and he's also the life. Yes. And isn't it that truth in John 8:32 that makes men free? Yeah. See, these men are in bondage. These are the ones that have eyes but don't see, and they have ears but they don't hear, that are saying, why is it that you're causing so much schism? Why are you calling them out? Why are you being so judgmental? You're acting like the devil, the accuser of the brethren. Really? Does the accuser of the brethren seek to perfect and to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, or does he mean to pervert, distort, and destroy? So when I call out, like for example, over the last couple weeks, a new outlet picked this up, and one of the things that I noticed on this new outlet site is imperfections. So what I do is I reach out to him and I say to him, listen, I like having our content over there, but I want to make sure it's done right because we're representing Christ here. And I said, I'm not complaining, I'm only perfecting. Does anybody have ears to hear that? Does anybody have an understanding what it means that we're set in place to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ from the wolves that are within the body of Christ? Oh, absolutely. And that includes the hirelings as well. But again, Matthew 7:15, Jesus warns to beware of false prophets disguised in sheep's clothing. These are the ones that will never tell you the truth. They always got a smile on your face, and they're doing everything in their power to maintain the false peace that they drive through their preeminence. You understand, because America, the church of what they call the church in America, is filled with these wolves. And that's how they do what they do, friends. They don't come right at it. They don't care about the body of Christ. They don't obey the scripture. What they care about is keeping the false peace so they can pay for their brand new buildings. That's exactly what it is. It's not about the lost. It's not about holiness, which the Lord called us to. Remember, be ye holy as I am holy, because the Lord is holy. Wait. Doesn't scripture also tell us without holiness, no man shall see the Lord? So therefore, we go back to the standard, Acts 17:31, and understand the Spirit of God is conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Remember, Paul died daily. He died daily. He died to himself, and he was empowered by the Spirit of resurrection. That power is that power presides, and it has preeminence over all the works of the devil. And I'll tell you what, one that's born of the Spirit of God and tastes that sees that the Lord is good, they will not submit themselves to the good old boy club because somebody's got a problem with it. Nope, he'll go just the other direction. So Jesus warns us to beware the false prophets disguised in sheep's clothing, where Jesus said they are inwardly ravenous wolves, and they're stating that they're recognized by their fruit. And we talked about that just a moment ago. Then we go over to Matthew 24. Jesus, what does he do? He predicts that many false prophets will appear and lead many astray, even from performing great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible. Warnings that come from Apostle Paul, Acts 20, 28 through 30. Paul warns the Ephesians elders that the fierce wolves will enter the flock after his departure, and men from their own group will arise to twist things around and make it into the image of themselves because they don't understand what the scripture says. There's many people out there that would like to remove the scripture because it's a stumbling block unto them. And if you take the time to read the book of Peter, it talks about how they're appointed. They're appointed to that stumbling block because they don't belong to the Lord, yet they claim that they are. So what do? I can tell you what they do. They remove the word, that's the stumbling block. They cherry pick other things around it. They hold it without context. And then what they want to do is try to convince everybody that the one holding to the word of God is the problem. Oh, that is dangerous, dangerous business. Read the end of Revelation 22, starting verse 18, 19, and 20. It's not good for those that wrest scripture unto their own destruction, the Bible tells us. What about 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15? Paul notes that false apostles and deceitful workers will disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. They'll be mimicking, mocking. They'll be those that are sent by Satan who disguises himself as an angel of what? Darkness? Nope. He comes as an angel of light. Not only are the pulpits in the American version of Christianity today, which is not defined properly anymore in any sense because the Holy Ghost departed a long time ago from those that claim to be his, but I can tell you right now, friends, like what you see in the pulpits of America today, that's exactly why you have the problem with your politicians, a bunch of Judases that have sold you out for 30 pieces of silver. Is it true? What does scripture say? 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, I just gave it to you. When you go to 2 Timothy 4 through 3 through 4, Paul warns of a time when people will not endure sound. That means without error teaching, but will instead gather teachers to suit their own passions, to itch their itching ears that turn to miss. Why? Because they have no discernment between the Holy Spirit and the letter that killeth. They have none whatsoever. Why? Because they're still dead in their sins. They're still dead in their sins. So they're looking for those that they can put up that will tell them what it is that they want to hear. It's like this. They can't stand Moses. That's why they keep jumping around looking for another what? Aaron to tell them the things that they want. Yeah, Exodus 32. We're going to continue on here in just a moment. 281-845-4704. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day. And we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best Red Pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean. And we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
In a world filled with confusion and deception, God's people need trustworthy news grounded in truth. At LibertySentinel.org, an incredible team of journalists led by me, Alex Newman, provide biblical news and analysis on faith, family, freedom, education, and the critical issues shaping our future. Join the tens of thousands of Christians who rely on our free newsletter and our news podcast to stay informed and equipped. It's all at LibertySentinel.org. That's LibertySentinel, S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org. Check it out today.
George Washington said, "If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like the sheep to the slaughter." Benjamin Franklin falls in suit when he said, "Freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. When this support is taken away, the constitution of a free society is dissolved and tyranny is erected on its ruins. Republics derive their strength and vigor from a popular examination into the action of the magistrates." He continues on and says, "Freedom of speech is the great bulwark of liberty. They prosper and die together, and it is the terror of traitors and oppressors and a barrier against them. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer that I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." Benjamin Franklin.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
You know, I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures here in just a moment, but I do want you to understand that in the 1980s, I love music. I love all genres of music. And I used to listen to a lot of different genres of music back in the 1980s. And then all of a sudden, here comes Steve Peters, him and his brother. And if you remember right back in the 1980s, and I'm sure there's some videos online, but I'm not going there for the sake of all the content I want to share with you today concerning this topic. But what they used to do is they used to expose the music scene. And when they would expose the music scene, they would show you the lyrics of those that are being used to demoralize the nation. And it goes back to what Socrates said when he said, "I care not for who writes its music. He said, I will control its people. If he wants to change a nation, that's all he has to do. And if he wants to control a nation, that's all he has to do is give forth the music. And some people will say, Bradley, wasn't Satan himself like an angel of light in heaven? Well, it infers to that, but it's not exactly something we could conclude. But he did fall for his pride, Ezekiel 28. And also go over to Isaiah 14, verse 12, and it talks about how he fell because of his pride. And then obviously we see how he fell as lightning when Jesus talks about it as well, okay? But we can see that the enemy uses music in a big way to demoralize a nation. And you have to understand that just like in Daniel 3, if you all remember right, Nebuchadnezzar had all of his subordinates after he created a golden image. What he did is he had all of his subordinates, once the music played, they would bow down to the golden image that he created. Well, we see the same thing with strange fire being offered up with Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10. And then when we look over, we also see in Scripture where it talks about the sounds of war that were heard in the camp. Exodus 32, 17 through 19. What was that? The people created an idol and they used music to worship the idol. Folks, going back to the 1980s, I remember watching a television program with Steve Peters and his brothers. It was called the Peters Brothers. Some of you may remember this. But what they would do is they would go into high school assemblies and they would teach them the lyrics that the musicians are spewing down on them. Remember, many of the musicians in America today that are being used by the devil himself, actors as well, that are spewing out Satan's message to demoralize the nations, they profess to be Christians. And again, because the church doesn't judge righteously anymore the way Jesus taught them to do it in John 7:24, they fall into the wayside. Why? Because they're a part of listening to the same kind of music that the worldlings are. There is no difference. Absolutely no difference. So what did Steve Peters used to do? What did the Peters brothers used to do? I remember NBC, it was Nightline, that did a huge piece on them. And what they would do is they'd go into schools, they'd show the kids the music, the influence in the lyrics of what these hypocrites were actually conveying down upon them. And then what would happen is the kids would be convicted and they would get saved. It is a very powerful message. It's a very powerful message. And what happened, friends, is all these kids would gather their music up and then they would go out into the streets and burn the music. Well, some will say, Bradley, why would they do something like that? Well, I can tell you that if you just said that, it's because you don't read your Bible. That's why. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that when you look at the book of Acts, what does it tell us? Acts 19:19. Many of those also who used occult arts, right, brought forth their books and their art together and burned them before all men. They counted up the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So is the church supposed to be giving forth a message like the one I'm giving to you right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you remember right, going back to Daniel 3, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down to the golden idol when the music started? So what did Nebuchadnezzar do, the tyrant do? What did the minion of hell do? John 8:44? He said, throw them in the fire and heat it up seven times. But remember, because they didn't bow, just like this boy is not going to, by the grace of God, the hotter the fire gets, remember, the fourth man shows up in the fire, not outside the fire. I also want to make a comparison because I know that there's a lot of people that love the ministry, but they don't understand that those that bring the fire must endure the flame. And what happens is they get around the ministry just a little bit and they get a little of that heat from that flame that the preacher has to endure. And then they show the world what they're really about. Just like the Lord said, I'll bring all things to the light. And he does. Oh, they loved John the Baptist. They loved his light for a season until he was decapitated by the one he was calling out. And I'm talking about Luke 3:19. Hear it and calling him out for all of his evils. For some reason or another today, that's not the church's obligation according to the American version of Christianity, which lacks Christ. See, it's not their job to point error out anymore. It's not their, hey, let me ask you something. If you don't point your finger to God's law that condemns their crime and exposes their sin, what drives them to the foot of the cross? Worldlings? I'm asking you, what drives them to godly repentance? What does the Holy Ghost use to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment? What does the Holy Ghost use to drive men to the foot of the cross where it can do no more? Well, it tells us several times in Scripture. Oh, and I hear people take that out of context too. Put it into context, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a knowledge of God's law and that I violated it. I transgressed his law. That is the definition of a sin. Okay? And when I understand that I'm the one that's guilty of breaking his moral law, Exodus 20, what does that law do? It drives me. It's a schoolmaster to bring me unto Christ. Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Who gives us that faith? Jesus Christ gives us that faith. So what drives and what is it that the Lord uses and the Holy Ghost uses to drive men to the cross? A knowledge of their sin. People don't go to the doctor until somebody or until they start to begin to realize that they have some sort of an ailment. People don't go to the doctor until you tell them they need a doctor. And then when you do, what did Jesus say that? Those that are whole have no need of a physician, but what? Those that are sick. And then he said, I called not the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. So what brings men, sinners, to Christ? A knowledge of their sin, a knowledge of their offense before a just and a holy God. Most of you today are so biblically illiterate that you say to yourself, that's judging. No, it is not judging. No more than when the cop pulls you over and you're going 70 in a 55 mile an hour zone. Is he judging you or is he enforcing the law to make it safe for others by condemning the law breaker? And what does he do? The first thing he does is points his finger at the law and says, you violated the law by 15 miles an hour. Is that police officer, is he judging that individual, or is he making a reference to the judgment that he's now going to receive if he doesn't repent? Oh, if only you people would take the time to read the Bible for yourselves rather than to cherry pick what you understand or where you're at. Let me tell you this, you're not the standard. Christ is. We fall short of the standard. That's why we need more grace to keep his commandments better. That's why we need the Holy Ghost to renew us, to regenerate us, to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that we might wake up in his likeness. Most people in the church today of America, which lacks Christianity, that call themselves, that have deceived themselves into believing they're Christians, they don't even know the doctrine. Don't even know the word of God. And they're telling individuals that are giving forth biblical messages, not just two or three line upon line, out of the mouth of two or three, let it be an established word. No, out of 30 and 40 and 50 scriptures. I had a friend just recently from Texas, Bob, my friend from Texas. He had sent notes from one church service. I bet he had 55 references. I'm guesstimating. I'm saying between 55 and let's say 75 scriptural references that were thrown out in that one church service alone. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Why is that? Why are people offended that? Because they love darkness. That's why. You know, the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that what it says? Yep. You take that out of context, most of you as well, too, because if you really understood that God so loved the world that he delivered him up for your sin, and you actually took the time to keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith, namely Christ and him crucified alone, you would begin to understand that love was not in mouth or word, but it was indeed in truth, because everything God did through Jesus was an action. It was all done in action, not in word. Then what does it say in verse 17? For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. This is what you always hear from the modern day mushroom converts that need to be converted again for the 50th time. Oh, but Bradley, your message is so condemning. Well, let me ask you, if it's condemning, what is it leading you to? Because the condemn or in the condemnation is not given to those that believe, but to those that don't believe. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Wait a second, in context. 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, what's the condemnation? That light is come into the world and that men love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
My name is Lisa Mead, and I live in Farragut, Tennessee. I've been in church my entire life, and I feel like the church has changed, but God's Word has not changed. The church service that Bradley Dean leads every Sunday morning is a breath of fresh air. He teaches the entire Bible, and his teaching from God's Word magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Each Sunday, my husband and I look forward to the church service because Bradley honors Jesus by speaking truth that all of us need to hear. I don't want to be entertained, but need to hear the truth of God's Word. I'm so grateful and thankful to be part of the church family. Bradley's message through the Holy Spirit leads me to my Savior, Jesus Christ, and there's no better place to be. Thank you, Bradley, for answering God's call to lead the church service so that people will hear the truth that is so desperately needed today.
BBSRadio.com.
Now we can understand where Harry S. Truman got his understanding from when he said, "The fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul." This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBSRadio.com.
281-845-4704.
I'll tell you what, folks. On Saturday, we had set up the Minnesota State Fair. Again, we're going to be at the Minnesota State Fair from the 27th, which starts Thursday, all the way to September 7th. And you should see our schedule. I mean, we are out there doing the stuff, as we call it here in the ministry, and I'm being spent 7 days a week. And I would be complaining if I wasn't doing what I was doing. But I'll tell you what, man, these people out here in this country of ours, they will just, if there was an eighth day, they would throw it on me. There, no question about it. If there was an eighth day, they would throw it on me. And it's just crazy because I guess through that, what I'm trying to say is, folks, we need real Christians, the genuine ones to stand. We need you to stand up and do your job because we need help out there. We really do need help out here. It's enough of you saying, I listen to you, which I appreciate. It's enough of you saying, you know what, we're here doing this, that, and the other thing. But it's like, you know what, let's go outside of the building and let's start doing what it is that we're supposed to do by bearing the reproach of Christ. I do want to highlight something here, but I want to finish John going back to what we were just talking about a moment ago. And I want you to hear this because we all heard God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's huge because we live unto him who died for us, right? 2 Corinthians 5:15. But then it goes on, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. I always hear people that are being convicted of their sin. Why are you being so judgmental? I know what I'm dealing with right off the bat. Someone that doesn't know what the scripture says, they don't understand the schoolmaster, and they don't know it's the job of the preacher to strip men of their flesh in showing them their need for a spiritual Christ. You don't edify, you don't exhort, and you don't build up another man in the flesh. You tear away at the flesh because what we do is show them to put the robe of righteousness on. We show them that those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lusts and its affections. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We teach them to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's what the cross is. That's what the cross is. No, because they don't understand Scripture. They don't understand the Holy Ghost. They say, well, why are you condemning them? I'm not condemning them. Because again, going back to 17, it says that God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, then why are you doing it? Wait a second, I'm not done. In context, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. They're unbelievers. They're trying to defend themselves. They're feebly trying to defend their sin before a just and a holy God. Dangerous, dangerous position to put yourself in. Because you're facing off with God. You're trying to give counsel to a just and a holy God. Who are you to do that? Who are you to do that? You find that several times in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Job. You find it in the book of Romans. That's dangerous business, people. Go to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. See, when I'm preaching truth, real Christians should be rejoicing that someone's actually preaching the truth that makes men free. Not the compromised diplomatic version of a bunch of hirelings in a pulpit that are afraid to say what needs to be said. That's not what makes men free. That's what brings them into bondage. That's what solidifies, friends, and forges their chains unto the enemy of their souls by withholding the truth. People that withhold the truth are the worst of men. You want to know why? Because they care more about withholding the truth because they want to win them to Jesus. They don't want to offend them. There is no nice way to say it, people. There's no nice way to do it. I mean, can't you see what's going on in politics right now? You put yourself in that position because of what you tolerate. So much to the point now where your said representatives act like you work for them rather than them working for you. You got it completely upside down because you've taken on an evolutionary view of government rather than understanding who gave you your God-given rights. You've done it to yourself and you're doing it again. Listen to this. Verse 19, what's the condemnation, Bradley? It tells us right here, the light that has come into the world, and this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world. Who's the light of men? Jesus Christ is. Who told us to follow him? Wasn't it Jesus that said he came unto his own and his own received him not? Oh yeah, who crucified Christ? His people and his own nation. So some of you that are kicking up against the goads, you better be very careful about what you do and how you do it. Because there's a whole lot of you out there. For you to stand up and give the Lord your opinion as to what he should do and how he should do it, shame on you. You stand in contradiction to the scripture. It's better for you to fall on the rock than the rock falls upon you. Let me finish this. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Just listen to their mouths. Just listen to how they talk. Just listen to their biblical illiteracies, and you'll understand what you're dealing with. And then it tells us in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the ones that Jesus was continuously telling the crowds to beware of. The Pharisees and the scribes are those that claim to be the children of God that he turned and constantly rebuked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hey folks, the church is the people individually. Again, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He doesn't want to be reproved. Take heed that you stand, lest you fall. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth, here's your positive, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. I say this constantly, friends. You want to hear from heaven? Stand on the Bible. You want to be revived? You want to be renewed? You want to understand what Bradley's message is by the Holy Ghost? When he talks about being born again, John 3:3, stand in the Bible. Stand in the Word of God. Put your hands up in the air and confess your sins before a just and a holy God and show him out of sincerity and genuineness of heart how you have transgressed his law and that you are a sinner that needs to be saved. And don't leave from standing on the Word of God and telling him, I'm wrong and you are right. Self-righteous people will never do that. And I'll tell you what, when you stand up in the righteousness of Christ, strong is your confidence. Strong is the righteousness that you'll walk in. And you'll be confident because your feet will be upon the rock. I love saying it when people say, well, Bradley, you were wrong about this. I say, I wasn't giving you my opinion. I gave you the Word of God. You didn't like the Word of God. The difference between me and you is I know I'm right. You say, how is that? Isn't that arrogance? Not at all. Because I'm not here on my own accord. I'm not standing up in my own righteousness. I'm standing in his, just like what Jesus talked. I'm not seeking my righteousness. I'm seeking his righteousness. And when I say that everything about me is wrong, except the good that you put in me, it's all my fault. I would ask that you would revive me. I would ask that you would give me the Holy Ghost so I can understand what the Christian life is all about. But I'll tell you what about this. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. O Lord, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah 57, Isaiah 66, verse 2. Go to Psalm 34, 18. And then also go over to Psalm 51, verse 17. And look at Scripture and keep it in context. You can also go to John 8. You can go over to Luke 15, the prodigal son, where he realized that he sinned before heaven and before his own dad. Yep, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Yep, and then when we're born of the Spirit, the Lord with open arms welcomes us unto his kingdom, and he gives unto us the Holy Ghost to get busy about doing the work of his hands. And then he says to us, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Everyone that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that what? They are wrought. You know what the word wrought means? Pounded in place by a hammer. It's the work of the Spirit of God in your heart, that they are wrought in God. Folks, I just teed it up for what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And I'm going to first highlight some of the secular music that many of you listen to. I just want to say this. If you're a Christian and you're listening to secular music, you're not a Christian. You're a hypocrite. Because over and over, Scripture tells us to come out from among them, be ye separate, then I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6, starting verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Jesus says, or the Spirit of God says, through James 4, 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Go over to Romans 12, 2. It says that we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds by the Word of God. It's idolatry is what it is. You're partaking with that sound of war. You're partaking with Nebuchadnezzar. You're partaking, friends, with all of those idolaters that served instead of the living God. They served dead idols. We're going to get to that tomorrow. What's the difference between Christian music and secular? Well, first of all, you got to ask the question, what's the difference between professed Christians and the secular world? That's where we need to draw the line.